First of all, Psalm 34, verse 4 and 5. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. This is what I love. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Talking about the promised land, we will not carry shame because it's true. Psalm 37. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. Amen, right? He laughs at the wicked. So what I felt like the Lord was speaking to me today, that, well, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a friend and I was just telling her, you know, it just feels like we have been so busy, but it doesn't feel like a good kind of busy. It just feels like a busyness. And you know, a lot of times that is one way the enemy works in our lives. He finds us so busy. He puts all of this stuff on our plate, right? All of these things. And at the end of the day, we may not even be able to say what we accomplished that day. It's just busyness. And through talking to her, she was like, you know, she said, I found that when there's just busyness to do, I found that the creative flow of God is kind of, what is that word I'm looking for? Stifle. There you go. Thanks. And so I started thinking about that. And you know, the creative voice of the Lord, we're always crying out for God to give us creative ideas, new ideas, things that we could do differently in this city, that as churches come together, how we could show specific love to them, where they know that our love is genuine. So we're always crying out for that. We're always praying in that direction, that we will have wisdom, that we will be creative in things. And when she said that, it hit me, and I was like, oh. That's what's been going on. So I looked up busyness in the Webster's dictionary. Lively but meaningless activity. I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, you couldn't get more plain than that. I was like, meaningless activity. So I was like, I'm just going to look up busy. Actively and attentively engaged in work or pleasure. You know, and so the goal of being busy, or let's just rephrase that, involved in busyness is fatigue and weariness, right? And how many in the room have been feeling that? I know that we can like do cartwheels to express to you how we've been feeling that, to be just... She's so fatigued and weary, she can't do a cartwheel. So I just began to pray. It's like, you know what? Obviously, the enemy is attacking that, is attacking the weariness and stuff. You know, like what Jamie says, we have a huge thing coming up. And it's not that we want to just be physically there. But if we're weary and we're fatigued, we can't give anything, right? I mean, we don't need just bodies to show up, right? I don't need to just show up and be a body. I need to be, you know what? I need to be busy, but it's going to be meaningful, because the fact is that God has so many ordained things for that day, and not just for the lost people, but for Christians to come together. I can't even think in every area what he's going to do, because you know what? It's still going to be discovered. And so I felt like that was a plan of the enemy that was revealed. And so I started just praying toward that. And so you guys just turn to Matthew 11. A And this is some of this actually is what Jamie hit on. (clears throat) 11:28, some of us can quote this. I love this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here are the few things that I felt like the Lord was saying. First of all, in seasons of busyness, we need to find one thing, and that's our place of rest. Now, also with that, not just our place of rest, but our people of rest. Okay, let's just face it. I mean, we have relationships that breathe life into us, and then we have relationships that suck life from us. Okay? And so during the season of busyness where the enemy is trying to already drain us and cause us to be just weak and fatigued and all of that mess, those people that drain life from us will be the loudest. And sometimes, you know what? It's well-meaning things. It's not like they're sitting back and thinking, how can I drain life from her today? That's not how they're thinking. And if they're thinking that, something's going on in their head that you probably shouldn't be hanging out with them anyways. if they're coming out with a scheme to take life from you. So let's identify a few things that take life, right? Are actually life-giving people. Sometimes, sometimes people can be encouraging with their actions, but slaughter you with their words, right? You know, sometimes we need a hug, but we need a hug not just a physical one, but one with our words, right? Those are important. Those hugs that we get that are just our words, just words. Man, they give me strength a couple more hours when I feel like I'm fatigued, right? Life-giving people only want your success. So in saying that, they don't pick your life apart, right? Life-giving people challenge you and where you're at, but they encourage you of where you can go. I'm going to give you an example. I had this friend, and he was in Bible school with me, and he decided, you know, we were at Bible school on the beach or near the beach where Rick has told, he's confessed that he spent a lot of time on the beach during classes. And anyway, meditating on, you're right. But I wonder if they skip class to be fishermen. Anyways, that's another story. Yes. So he decided that he was going to start looking for a house on the water. And the Lord specifically told him that he was not to move on the water. He wasn't supposed to. And so he went ahead and did it. And probably within a couple of months, he was in sin. And then, I guess it was like a month after that, he went to the school, confessed sin, and they asked him to leave, basically. They kicked him out. It was premarital sex, and that's usually not a good thing in Bible school. A good thing in life, but it's usually not a good thing in Bible school when you're studying to be a minister. Anyway, but he would tell you, you know what? The reason why I fell into this is because I was disobedient to the Lord. So here's what would happen to him. He would show up at a service. He would come to services and just get really touched by the Lord, doing awesome for a couple of days. And I remember specifically this chick. We called her Oh Girl because, you know, that's what Christians do. We come up with nice names for people, but we called her Oh Girl. And she literally would come and sit beside him during a service when he was doing good. Come and next couple days, call him. We wouldn't hear from him. He'd say, I did it again. I fell again. And anyway, my point in saying that is this. The enemy will send your greatest weakness. He'll send whatever form it may be. Whatever form it may be. He ended up not too long after that, got on drugs. He had been saved from drugs, and he got on drugs, and he had been so active in the school that he went on numerous mission trips, like 10, 12 mission trips. He had become really good friends with one of the ministers in India, and this guy actually ended up being in town from India. He was an Indian. He had a plant there. He had many churches. And he visited him at his house. And he said, leave now. Come with me now to India. Come with me now. And so he actually said, give me 2 hours to think about it. And he did. He left for India. And so here's the thing, though. He didn't come back. He died in India. But the thing of it is this. That relationship had to be severed by him moving to India. You know what I mean? So when a life-giving relationship is that strong, man, you imagine the connections that you have in the spirit with people that are good and profiting and encourage you, that you know what? That when they know you're not doing good, they know. Just like the enemy would send to him when he was doing good to trip him up. How awesome is it that God will do the same for us when sometimes we're fatigued or we're weary, that he'll send someone, a life-giving friend, to breathe life, right? And so, just like Jamie was saying, we have got to be careful that we surround ourselves during this time with life-giving people, because we're fighting fatigue. Not just fatigue, but battle fatigue, right? So what do we need to remember during this time? We need to remember each other. Encourage, pray, and seek ways to pray, to encourage, but also see that they're refreshed. So what do you need to do? What do I need to do personally to find that rest? Just simply get into his presence. You know, and we've always talked about how what works for me may not work for you. And what may work for me today may not work for me tomorrow. We have got to listen to the Holy Spirit and know what is going on inside of us. You know what? I love that my kids, especially Emma, will go a month without a date, and she'll say, y'all haven't had a date lately. I don't know if she could tell in our relationship or what. She's like, you need to go on a date. Maybe that's what it is. She's just perceptive and like, You guys need to be alone. Be nice to each other or something. But she does. She notices, right? So, Kirji, take a Jesus date. Carve out in your schedule extra time as we're preparing for this thing that we're doing. And I say this thing, but you know what I'm talking about, because I feel it's bigger than what we realize. Take a Jesus date, just you and him, whatever you need to do. You know, before I was married, not that Rick would be in disagreement. In fact, we've talked about it lately. I would just go and get a hotel room and just spend the entire night just with the Lord. And you know, those times, it was usually during difficult times that I would do that. But that was my Jesus date. Now, it looks different. I'm in a little bit different season. I was thinking when I was getting ready tonight, I shut my bedroom door and locked it. And then I got into the bathroom, shut the bathroom door and locked it. That's just where we are in our life right now. That's where we are. With three children, there's absolutely no privacy, right? But I thought about that. That's what we need to do. We need to close ourselves off as much as we need to. Whether it's two doors, maybe it's more for you. A vault would be awesome. But anyway, I just want to encourage us with that. That the fatigue and the busyness, for one, it is not of Jesus. The feeling, the pressure to be, you know, I don't like being busy, 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 busy. We really guard our family time. But feeling it and living it sometimes is very different. We have felt that there's just things swirling. It may not be that we're not home as much, although Rick has had to work a lot. It just is a feeling with it too. Just sucking life, right? So if you would, we're going to just stand and we're going to pray. And then I encourage you to get a Jesus date. Number one, and make sure you surround yourself with life-giving people. It is so important. You know, there's moments when we minister. Obviously, there's times where we minister. But man, for those times, where, and those friends and those family where we don't have to. Where we just get to, it's nice, right? Play some cards or something. Miss Mary's going on more than one date with Jesus this week. So anyway, let's agree together. Lord, we thank you for revealing the plan of the enemy, God. We thank you, Jesus, that the plan of the enemy must stop now in Jesus' name. God, all the junk swirling about busyness, God, this meaningless activity, God, we just come against that mess, God. And God, I thank you that you cause us to find rest. God, as we grab hold of you, and as we grab hold of what you have for us, God, I thank you, Jesus, that we can breathe you in. And God, right now, Lord, I pray that you send people, life-giving people to your children to breathe life, God, to breathe life into us all, God. And Jesus, right now, God, I just pray for just Holy Spirit, Lord, just refresh your children. God, for the battle fatigue, Lord, I thank you that in a moment, a touch of your presence, a touch of you, Lord, God, your refreshing is so tangible and so real. God, I thank you for your voice that runs all that mess out of our minds, God. God, we choose you. We choose to focus on you, God. And your word says, set your mind on things above, God, where we set them. We set them on you. We set them on things above. And God, I thank you for your strength. God, I thank you that the enemy will not cause us to show up to the race already weary and tired, God. But we will be refreshed and tenacious and ready to run. God, I ask you to bless each person here with your refreshing. I just pray right now, if you need a touch, if you just want refreshing, if you just need prayer for anything, that you would come up. Rick and I will be here praying. And I just don't, I know it's probably a little later, I haven't even looked, a little later than normal. God, I pray that you will just truly touch your people. If you need a touch, don't go out without just agreement for refreshing and fire and believing that the Lord has something for you tonight. If you need prayer, just come forward. Jamie's going to sing a song and then dismiss after.
I feel your wind upon my face, your heart, your sweet embrace, such peace I could never fake when I'm near. Veil ripped open wide, like I'm born for a second time when I'm near you. Oh, I'm coming alive in your presence. sweet embrace. Such peace I could never face. Falling off my eyes, my heart's veil ripped open wide, like I'm born for a second time. Oh, when I'm near you, praise.